Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hello and welcome inside. Happy Tuesday, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Julius Randle. I'm sorry, is it too soon to talk about the Knicks? My best friend Mike Harmon. Live,
he's
already shaking his head.
It's four games.
It doesn't matter. 3-1. We're going to go 81-1. We just,
if that happens, that's a story. I mean, that would be historic.
We just beat the crap out of the Sixers. Knicks.
Well, but they're all in disarray. They don't have one of their top players.
Really? So in the fourth quarter when they were down by 30, Ben Simmons would have been great. He would have rallied them and started taking.
Well, they wouldn't have been down 30.
He would have been taking threes at the end. Just give me the ball, man. I'm going to make it rain. I'm going to shoot from the logo. They're going to call me Logo Simmons. I'm going to keep shooting threes is what I'm going to do.
No, I think you're disparaging Doc Rivers' coaching ability in what you're doing there. That's really the story I'm hearing.
Listen, I'm not disparaging anything. I'm just telling you how good the Knicks are. Oh, man.
That was a clinic. That was Harlem Globetrotters kind of stuff right there. It looked like the Generals out there.
It was. I mean, Emmanuel quickly is making people fall over. And, hey, look, marquee game of the night in the NBA right now. Knicks beat the Sixers 112-99. Big nights from Evan Fournier, from Kemba Walker.
We're starting with the Knicks.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Because then we have to also mention the Lakers playing without LeBron James because he's rewatching the end of Squid Game to see if he really hated it. They trail the Spurs right now, 75-74, midway through the third quarter. AD's got 18. Westbrook has 16, 6-5. Again, no LeBron tonight for the Lakers against the Spurs. And, you know, listen, I'm kind of glad he's not playing because now we can just talk about his rivalry with the director for Squid Game.
No,
and
that's good.
I think that's just as good content.
Have you seen Space Jam 2? I love it. Existential crisis comes up with a guy who says, hey, look at what you made.
Magic had Bird, right? I mean, you know, Kobe had Duncan. You know, we got Shaq had Kobe. We got all the – and LeBron has the director of Squid Game. It's his big rival now. It's what it is. It's the new Magic and Larry. It's LeBron and the director of Squid Game.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive right there. Because remember, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago as the season began, and it was the caught on tape. And I didn't care much for the end of Squid Game. Like, well, look, that's how you get some clout too, right?
You
have this story pop up at the same time. You say, hey, I didn't get rich off of this. I'll get rich off my next project, but I'm glad you're enjoying it. So it all ties together. A big news day coming out of Squid Game, which I still have not seen.
Can't believe you haven't yet. I mean, you have to see it just because everybody has seen it now, and now it's like you have no social currency if you haven't seen Squid Game. If you say, I haven't seen Squid Game, you may forget it. Like, I can't even talk to this guy. He's got no
social
currency.
You know what I did? I spent my time watching the Bears again.
No.
And the Jets. I decided I was too happy and high on life after a couple of days of soccer wins for my daughter and a showcase thing where I was driving like an idiot 2 hours each way. No, after all of that, you know, riding high, I said, let's go back and watch some really bad football. And then you and I got to experience even more bad football on Monday night. So, you know, I brought myself down. So at some point later in the week, maybe Squid Game will get a turn as I catch up on Succession and everything else. But, you know, it's really fallen down the depth chart in terms of as soon as everybody says you have to see it, usually I go the other way. It's kind of like when people tell you, hey, this is the easy bet of the week. That means it's guaranteed to go wrong.
Yeah. Well, listen, you just don't, because everybody's talking about it. You don't want to be the guy that said, how come you're so quiet? No, I haven't seen Squid Game. Oh, sorry about that. Why did you even come to lunch? Why didn't you just stay home then if you didn't want Squid
alert.
Game?
Spoiler alert. Given our schedule and what I do to get my kids moving every day, I nap. I don't lunch. I'm glad you have leisure time with your jackass buddies. I do not.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. You don't have time to have lunch? Really, you don't have time to have lunch? Really?
Just for a minute or two.
Really?
You have a minute to eat.
That's it?
It's back to it.
Yep. Really? You only have time to eat lunch for 1 minute, and then that's it. You have no time for that. No time for anything else.
That's about right.
Didn't you and I have a nice 2-hour lunch like a week and a half ago? That was one day.
I mean, we found a pocket of time. But all the other days,
you're too busy to have lunch.
But a pocket of time to go do that and watch Squidward, I'm out.
You binge stuff like late at night. You're up until 6 in the morning.
Yeah,
like,
but this has no... I can't get to sleep. I'm not interested in it.
Watch Squid Game.
How about that? Just like Game of Thrones, where you tried to beat me over the head for years. I didn't watch that either.
I never watched Game of Thrones. You're talking about your other best friend. I never watched Game of Thrones. I was telling you all the time I never watched
Game of Thrones. No, didn't you watch that for 2 seasons and then quit?
No,
I didn't watch it at all. You read a book and you ruined it for somebody?
No, a friend of mine ruined it for me reading the book, going, oh, hey, you gotten to the part where Ned dies yet? Wait, what? What happens? What?
I just like that there was a guy named Ned. Yeah, we're going back in time all these years, and there's a guy named Ned running around.
Did you get to the part where Ned dies? What? Ned dies? What?
Flanders dies? What?
Idly hey, go home. Doodly do. So today the director of Squid Game taking a shot back at LeBron, who a week ago talked about not liking the end of Squid Game. The director said, "Well, maybe I didn't like Space Jam too. You know, LeBron can do his own ending to the movie if he wants to." So, pretty interesting stuff with that.
Hey, he's made a lot of money off that production company, so he's got hundreds of millions of dollars ready to fund the next project. Maybe he does his own version of Squid Game,
Octopus Game. We're gonna do a calamari game. That's what it's going to be.
Now I want some calamari. Yeah, it's good.
What's that? It's a guy. You're watching a guy eat as many pieces of calamari as he can. How long does it go? Well, until he's done eating. All right. Well, give me 8 episodes of it. All right. Perfect. We're going to run it.
Yeah, I'm surprised we haven't had a limited series of competitive eating.
I'm surprised we haven't had a lot more different things with competitive eating.
Correct.
I'm really surprised that hasn't become the new poker. I thought that would be the new poker. And now poker's not even poker anymore.
And now it's coming back, though. Poker's on the rebound, though.
It is. You're right. Poker, it's been gone so long now, poker is actually on the rebound yet. From the early 2000s and the big heyday and, oh, look at all the TV shows they're showing on Bravo where it's just celebrities playing poker. Now it's coming back. So maybe competitive eating will get that next push and become the new poker, which was the old poker, which is trying to be the new poker again.
See, during COVID, they got stuck in the online poker rooms again.
Yeah. Well,
so it took off.
But right now in the World Series, Braves lead the Astros 5-0 as the Astros bat in the bottom of the fourth inning. It's been a big power show for the Braves so far. Soler opens up the World Series with a home run. Riley with a big double driving in a run as well. Duvall had a home run in the third inning. At TJ, Duvall not showing tender mercies to the Astros with his home run in the fourth.
That's a good reference right there. And one nobody's going to get. But, you know, we always say in baseball,
Soler flares one into the stand. Right.
Nicely done. I mean,
Soler
first time
installation as a World Series hero.
Don't forget your tax rebate. Soler installation. Look, the first in 117 World Series, first time a leadoff batter homers. There you go.
100 years of baseball.
Got to have something new. Yeah.
Keep seeing more. And look, isn't this better? All the fans right now, well, they didn't like that because that was a big error that brought in a run for the Astros. But isn't this exactly how it's supposed to be? 5-1 now, the Braves with the lead after Dansby Swanson just kicks a grounder. Isn't this what you want? We wanted the Astros to get to the World Series, and then you lose in front of everybody. And you don't make it, and you think, oh, I've had some kind of success. Here's a team that cheated, won the World Series. Oh, I'm all upset they're back. No one's rooting for them. No one wants them to win. Why are they here? I hate they're in the World Series. But this is what you want. You want them to be in the World Series, and that's when they lose. Now, it really does stink if in a game tonight, like where they're down 5-0, they find their way back in and they win this game. That would really stink for the majority of the country. But if the Braves hold on to win, this is kind of what you want. Here's the Braves. Nobody thought the Braves could win. Their best players out for the season. They won like 74 games and still won the National League East East this year. Oh, the Braves can win. The Braves have no personality. Nobody cares. People know Freddie Freeman's name a little bit. Doesn't matter. You're playing against the Astros. You're not them. They are America's team right now, and people will root for the Braves just like they did in the 90s when they knocked the evil Pittsburgh Pirates off the top of the NL East because they had all the great young players to root for, and Justice and Gant and everybody else and Cabrera and all the fun stuff they had there. Nah, the Braves are now America's team again for the first time since like 1997.
America's team. That's a really, really strange thing, right? Acuna out because of injury. Ozuna on an administrative lead. Administrative leave. You get a 5-1 lead here in the bottom of the fourth. The only one out, so the threat is real. As long as you keep it within a slam, that's the old adage, right? One swing of the bat, and all of a sudden we got ourselves a brand new ball game. But I like it either one of two ways. Either you fail spectacularly and you're playing meaningless baseball in September, because that would be the really good way for things to end, or you fail spectacularly and get swept out, or maybe five games. You know, the gentleman's sweep or gentlewoman's sweep in this World Series showcase. Either way, they have to lose for America to be happy. Doesn't mean the Braves are America's team, though. I mean, it's
now they are. Well,
it's like
teams.
Most elections where you're choosing the lesser of two evils.
Well, look, I'm not saying people are walking around with buttons saying, hey, Braves. No, but they're America's team. There's two teams left. One team people really don't want to see win, so they're rooting like hell for the other one.
Are they really rooting like hell for the other one?
Sure. Nobody wants the Astros. They're not really rooting for them as much as they're rooting against the Astros.
Right. No, it's hate-watching. Yeah, hate-watching and, you know, well, someone's got to win is really what it comes down to. It's like all those years in the American League of anybody but the Yankees kind of mentality. Yeah, I get it. It's certainly there. And now it's anybody but the Astros.
It doesn't matter who they are. It makes no difference. It's just this is what it is, and this is the team. Okay, I don't know a lot about the Braves. The Braves are X, Y, and Z. The Braves, okay. No. We're rooting for the Braves. I'm going to find out about
them. The Braves made it. Who are they?
I'm going to find out if Kenny Lofton is still playing center field. I'm going to find out these things. I'm going to know.
No, you can't just keep putting him on all these different teams.
But he was on the Braves.
If you had him on the Guardians, he stays with the Guardians. You can't start assigning him to other squads now.
They come to the Breeders' Cup from every corner of the globe, the best thoroughbreds from around the world with one goal in mind, the title of world champion. Visit Breeders' Cup. .com/2021 for more information. Catch all the action live on November 5th and 6th. 5-1 with one out. The Astros could potentially put another run on the board here, at least in the bottom of the fourth inning. But hey, with every pitch, it's, oh man, Minter, he's great. I really need him to come through. Do you know who he is? Nope, not at all. But he's on the mound. He's pitching against the Astros. It's not Altuve. It's not anybody. It's not Kyle Tucker. It's none of these guys. It's not Gurriel. It's not Correa. It's somebody else. This is what helps in the World Series. It helps to have them. Can you imagine if it was the Braves and I'm sorry, Boston. If it was the Braves and the Red Sox in the World Series, it would be, oh, okay. Two teams where nobody knows any players on any of these teams. As much heritage team as the Red Sox are, nobody knows anybody on the team, and nobody knows anybody on the Braves either. It's all right, we're going to watch. So you need something. I mean, it's a big deal to get the Astros in the World Series.
Well, people would have been trying to learn how to spell Xander Bogaerts.
Would they really be trying, though? Or they would just put an X? They just put an X there.
Well, there's that, too. I mean, Bobby Dalbec might have gotten a little bit of run. Kike Hernandez, everybody.
Wait, the drummer for Poison, Bobby Dahl? The drummer for Poison? You getting some run?
Talk dirty to me. Wait, no, that's an intro to Pete Futek, and I don't think he picks up the bat phone just like that.
Braves get out of the inning. It is 4-1. Atlanta with the lead going to the top of the fifth inning. Likely would have got out unscathed, but Dansby Swanson, again, just kicked an absolute out. It was a ground ball to him and could have been a double play, but instead the Astros get a run, and the Braves batted down. You know, Minter really battens down there and gets the last two outs of the inning. Could have been ugly. So the Braves with a 4-run lead now as they go to bat in the top of the fifth inning.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
One of the big topics of conversation has continued to be who's going to be the next head coach at USC, who's going to take over from Ed Orgeron at LSU at the end of this year. Carson Palmer went on the Dan Patrick Show the other day and said, hey, here's names that are being thrown out there, and Mike Tomlin's name was featured. Whoa, Mike Tomlin. Seriously? Mike Tomlin? Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin. Huh. Wonder what he's got to say about that. Well, today at his weekly press conference, he made sure to bring the story up and then make you walk away not thinking anything other than, I'm really not interested in the gig.
Hey, guys, I don't have time for that speculation. I mean, that's a joke to me. I got one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? Never say never, but never. It's not a booster with a big enough blank check.
That's how you deny something, Mike Harmon. I mean, you can still do a Nick Saban saying, guys, I'm not going to Alabama, and still go to Alabama. But that's a pretty good full-throated denial. There's not a booster with a big enough blank check. Why would I ever want to go coach college football? And when you're coaching the Steelers and you've coached Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown and some of the guys, and you're like, you know what? I can't imagine what it would be like coaching these kids when they're 19, 20, 21. Yeah, I'm not going to college. I think we can cross Mike Tomlin off that list.
Well, I don't know. The way he really went through the violent denial of it all, I think he really was asking, you really got to come with a really, really big check if you want me to go do this. That's the message I took out. Methinks he doth protest a bit too much.
I'll show you a big enough check. You think, yeah, well, here's a big enough check for you.
Don't ask me again. And it's like, whoa, all right then. Look, but it's as we discussed before. It's like, how many times, you know, you look at going from the pros back to college and all, especially if you haven't done it before, right? It's one thing, you know, slide up the ranks, slide back down as a head man. But then, you know, all the extra that you have to deal with at the collegiate level. And now as they try to get different pieces in place, you're not only recruiting, saying, hey, you got a roster spot. Now you got to have a whole team of people trying to tell folks how they're going to be able to capitalize off NFTs and the whole NIL deals and everything that flows out of that. And you know, now you're a matchmaker with businesses. No thanks, man. I'll stay in the NFL. Even if I got to deal with some truculent guys at times, some guys that are confusing as to how they handle their business and what it means to my locker room, I'm staying there. And for Mike Tomlin, I mean, look, I think he gave the answer I think most would have expected Mike Tomlin to give. But, you know, as soon as you bring up the checks from the boosters, now it goes, all right, so you've opened up the door. You've opened up the doors, which means, all right, everybody make sure you pool your money together. It's not just going to be one of you with a check big enough.
You know, it's funny you say the matchmaking, because that's what makes me think when lists like this come out, hey, here's a list of potential candidates, that you hear that and you think, okay, there's contact that's been made either through back channels or front channels, and we're going to wind up talking to these people about this job. Hey, here's our list. When really what it is it's a wish list. It's, hey,
right,
let's play matchmaker. You know who might be great? Hey, Mike Tomlin. Hey, you know what? Yeah, a couple of guys. Mike Tomlin might be a great fit, might be ready to leave the NFL, would go to a high-profile place like USC. Oh, Mike Tomlin. It's all matchmaking. It's other people with ideas saying, oh, I think this might work. So when you hear about a list, this is just what people are putting together in an office. This is not, we have this and we've already reached out to people. So yeah, Understand that when lists come out.
So a lot of like when I used to get the Sears wish book all those years ago, and you'd write down 9 pages of Star Wars stuff and other action figures and sports stuff you wanted, doesn't mean you're getting a damn bit of it.
Now, 3 big results in the NBA tonight. And let's kick it off with a result that just happened. It is an overtime final for the Lakers and the Spurs. There was no LeBron tonight because LeBron took the night off to watch the end of Squid Game again, just to see if he liked it better. I don't know if he did. But the Lakers and the Spurs go to overtime. No LeBron, and this is how it ended.
That'll do it from San Antonio. In overtime tonight, Lakers beat the Spurs.
125 to 121. They were incredibly large nights from AD, as Davis goes for 35 and 17 rebounds, and Russell Westbrook, 33, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, and 3 steals. A very quintessential Russell Westbrook game in which, with no LeBron, what did we see? Guess who had the ball the majority of the time bringing it up? Hey, Russell Westbrook. What did we tell you after the first Laker game? Right? All right, everything is fine. They lose the first game. They're trying to fit things in. But boy, Russell Westbrook playing off the ball. I wasn't a big fan of that. And then Frank Vogel said he's got to fit into our system. So it's going to be a bit of a thing for him. And that's when I said I was concerned, because what are you doing? You got Russell Westbrook to be Russell Westbrook. What the hell? You're going to make him fit in? Give him the ball and let him go. LeBron can figure it out. AD can figure it out. But you got Westbrook to come in and be a ball-dominant point guard. He's one of the top 75 NBA players of all time. This is how you got him. And maybe because tonight was a bit of night of, well, necessity dictated that this is how it went, Westbrook had the ball the majority of the game, and look what he did. 33, 10, and 8, and the Lakers win. Not suddenly that they're better without LeBron. Oh, hot take, Pat.
That is good hot take. LeBron. Get it out there.
They're better. But they are better when the offense runs through Russell Westbrook, and they will be a better team when the Lakers realize that and understand that he needs to be Russell Westbrook. If we make him play off the ball, he's going to be just a guy, and he's going to sulk, and he's not going to play well, and this isn't going to go well for anybody. But you have to give the keys to the offense to Westbrook. If you do, the Lakers will be fine. And look what you're seeing tonight already. Without LeBron on the road, boy, this looks bad. Lakers could go to 1-3. Nope. They win in overtime, and you get a big night from Westbrook and a big night from AD, and you had a nice night off the bench too. You had a couple of players with really nice nights coming. You know, Reeves had 10. You know, Hillbilly Kobe. You know, he had 10 off the bench tonight. But this was clearly Westbrook and Davis, and it worked terrifically together. And they improved to 2-2. If the Lakers do this more, they will be just fine. I could coach the team because that's what I would let them do.
All I can say is I want to see the third man back into the, you know, tag back in, right? Because it works tonight because you don't have LeBron there. Okay, he's going to be going, hoo-hoo, I'm over here, I figured out Squid Game, and I'm back. So, you know, yes, it solves it for a night against the Spurs, and they have a big win in overtime. You have the scare when Davis went down and he popped back up and got an alley-oop. So a nice little international soccer or MLS kind of play working for you there, 35-17 and 4 for him, 4 block shots as well. So a monster game. But yeah, once LeBron goes back in, I mean, you haven't solved anything. You just have an outlier sample here of, you know what, on nights LeBron takes load management or does some film study, We've got a guy that can run the offense when he's
back.
Well,
this was the whole reason, Mike. This was the whole reason why they got him. You got him so during the regular season you can save wear and tear on LeBron and AD.
No, sure. Right? But they eventually still have to work together. No, this is exactly it. No, you're absolutely right. We talked about this when he first arrived and everybody started going, oh, this isn't going to work. It's like, no, there's two parts to this. One, you got to navigate the 82-game regular season. And given the past injuries, and look, LeBron has now shown that he's human, right? It's like when Drago bleeds in Rocky IV. Like, wait a minute. He's bleeding. He is human. You know, that kind of thing. It's the same thing when LeBron got slid into last year. You know, things that were usually guys would bounce off him like he had the outer shell of the 1989 Batmobile. Nicely done by me. That didn't happen. Now he got hurt and he missed significant time, and now you're worried. There it is.
Batman.
Nice. I liked how the mayor got loud there. But, you know, it's that kind of situation of you got to get through 82 games. So here's one you navigated quite well. Yeah, you got some stressful moments, but you got away with a win. Russell Westbrook feels good. He won't have LeBron saying anything condescending about him, feeling jittery or anything tonight like he did after the opener. No, you went out and you got your 33-10-8. You got a win, and that's one game that LeBron got some rest, and I'm sure there'll be plenty more throughout the season. Come April, they're still going to have to figure out how to play together. So eventually we're going to need to see some improvement in those regards. But you know what? For this late October night, Laker fans, for a moment, they celebrate Westbrook's arrival, and they smile, and they say, how does Carmelo Anthony only had 4 points in 30 minutes. How did he only get up 7 shots? That's what I want to know.
He had 29 the other night. Come on, he had 29.
What is he? Did he shoot himself out where he's tired?
He's probably retired. Yes, he probably was.
He only got 7 shots up in 30 minutes.
I know. That's, yeah. I don't know that's ever happened to him in his career. Wait. I only shot 7 times.
I mean, Austin Reeves almost got as many shots up.
But yes, but baby steps for the Lakers. Let's just let Westbrook run the show first so we understand that's the path to be on. Then we can work in, all right, let's weave in AD, let's weave in LeBron. Because clearly when Westbrook and AD play together, that works okay. We saw that tonight, right? That worked pretty well, right? AD was terrific running up and down the floor, had that scare when he goes down, and literally the next play is an alley-oop to him, so you know AD is all right. So you know that the Westbrook-AD thing works okay. And this will be good. You just have to turn it over to Westbrook. That's why you got him. Just do it. I get it's weird, but LeBron wants him. You just have to do it, and it'll work out just fine.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
MLB Network, Fox Sports Radio, baseball insider extraordinaire, who's got a 10,000-piece column coming out on Eddie Rosario, greatest player in baseball history. It is John Paul Morosi. JP, what's happening, man?
Good evening, my friends. I was reminded while covering the ALCS in the last series that once the Red Sox took that 2-1 lead and they had routed the Astros in Game 3, it seemed for all the world that the Red Sox would win the series, not just win the series, but win it at Fenway with two straight wins. They did not do that. So I'm going to be very cautious about overreacting to the Game 1 win, as impressive as it may have been for the Atlanta Braves.
Wow, look at you. You can never go to Atlanta again, hater. I'm just going to call you hater. Look at you.
That's just called from having been in many a press box on many a night like this, that we should not prejudge Game 2 in the afterglow of Game 1.
All right, so looking at this, you know, we talked about this, Mike and I, about it being a game that the Braves absolutely had to have, especially coming off of the news they're going to be without Charlie Morton for the rest of the postseason. How much more difficult is winning the World Series now for the Braves, now that you're taking their ace out of the equation here?
Well, it's an interesting question. I would have said before Game 1, looking at the starting pitching matchups for Game 1 and Game 2, that this was actually more of an important game for Houston, because the Game 2 starting pitching matchup, at least on the surface, favors the Braves. Max Fried versus Jose Urquidy. Urquidy really struggled against the Red Sox in that Game 3 of the ALCS. So, from my perspective, this game was crucial for Houston to win. I think you're right. Once the game started and Morton leaves in the third inning, the Braves say, oh my goodness, we really have to bank this win with our ace having started, and now knowing that we're not going to get him back before the end of the series. I think it certainly amplified the importance of this game from Atlanta's perspective, but they've already, from where I sit, done an exceptional job in Houston to get one game, and now they can have home field advantage in their favor, and admittedly, they're probably in a really good place to have the starting pitching edge in each of the next two games, certainly in Game 2, and then Game 3, Ian Anderson versus Luis Garcia. So Houston also, Jake Odorizzi pitched a lot today. He may not be available for Game 4. You really look at the number of different possibilities there. Even without Morton, I like the way Atlanta's pitching sets up better than Houston's. And bear in mind, of course, they're now even because Houston's best starter, Lance McCullers Jr., also is not available. So, if anything, it puts them on equal footing. And from that perspective, Atlanta seems to have the edge where I look at it right now.
Well, JP, you just pointed out, Odorizzi, 26 strikes, 42 pitches overall in his 2 1/3 innings. But Valdez only lasts two for them. 8 hits, 5 earned runs means you had to go to the bullpen, and guys got the pitch count. Not heavy as much as Odorizzi did, but still that you had to come with 5 relievers when you're at the disadvantage, or, you know, however pronounced it is, at the starting slot. Advantage Braves and Rosario.
And Rosario, yes. Rosario's still hot, still obviously someone who has to reckon with during the course of this World Series. And collectively, you've got the Braves outfield with Jorge Soler as the DH. Ironic that the first batter of the World Series is the National League's DH in the AL Park, which, by the way, used to be an NL Park, being the first ever first inning leadoff home run in a Game 1 World Series history. It's such a unique bit of history, and it really underscores how much the Braves remade their roster midway through the season. Of course, in the month of July, Duvall homered today. He was acquired in July. Soler homered today. He was acquired in July. So I think that the depth of the Braves lineup was on display. The quality of their bullpen with Minter's incredible outing in the middle of the game to relieve Morton was also on display. It was a convincing Game 1 win. We should also make sure that we don't look at Houston's side of things and say that they were never in the game. Actually, the first inning, if Kyle Tucker gets a hit there against Morton, and Morton, by then we know now, was already compromised potentially by the comebacker that hit him in the first inning, it's a very different game. And if Gurriel's ball goes over the wall by a few inches as opposed to clanking off the wall and he gets thrown out of second base, a number of different plays from Houston's perspective could have made the game a lot tighter. And I do think it was favorable from Houston's perspective that they at least forced Will Smith to get into the game and got that extra look at him in Game 1, which I think could pay a dividends for Houston later on in the series.
Yeah, but JP, it doesn't matter because the Braves have Eddie Rosario. It's Eddie Rosario and Willie Mays who are the best players in baseball history right
Jason,
now.
Jason, my friend, the NL East race is over, okay? He is not going to face the Mets anymore this season. The Mets are done. However much he haunted the Mets in the regular season, it's not a situation where you have to worry about him anymore, okay? Like, the season is done. The Mets and the NL East, they have their own issues to deal with. We're just looking right now at the Braves, who happen to be from the NL East, but they are the best team in that division. And I'll pull back on the focus a bit more and make this point. And this is why baseball playoffs are so fascinating to follow. The Braves won fewer games in the regular season than two AL teams that missed the playoffs. The Mariners and the Blue Jays both missed the playoffs. They won more games than the Braves won in the regular season. How about that?
So what you're saying there, JP, is that we need to shuffle this all up and not be league dependent so that
no.
we can get the entire AL East except for the Orioles and everything else.
No, I appreciate the criticisms that followed when the Dodgers lost or when they won more than 100 games and had to play the wild card. But listen, we had a tremendous end of the regular season. That last day was amazing. The final weekend was amazing. All those games in Seattle were great. The Red Sox having to win in D.C. on the final day, that was great. There was drama everywhere around North America that last week. And if you had a different playoff format, you would not have had that level of drama. So I'm totally cool with the format as it exists now. If they wanted to expand it, I'm okay with it as long as you make sure that you find a way to prioritize the meaning of the regular season. And I think we saw that this year.
All right, JP. So since you're still bullish on the Astros after Game 1, you know, they got Game 2 at home. They could even the series up. Complete the sentence for me. You will be worried about the Astros if what happens?
I would be worried about them. If they go down 0-2, I'd be worried about them. But admittedly, remember what happened in the last World Series the Astros played in. The road team won every single game. And the Nationals won games 1 and 2 in Houston. And it seemed like, oh my gosh, this series is over. And then the Astros come back and win 3 in a row. And, of course, they ended up losing in 7 at home, but it was a very competitive series. So I will worry about the Astros if they're down 0-2 simply because they don't have nearly the rotation they had back in 2019 when they had Verlander, McCullers was still healthy, obviously. Cole, it was a totally different group. And so for me, I would worry more about them because their group of pitching just is not strong enough to withstand an 0-2 deficit, in my view, which is why it was important for them to at least have a split there of the first two games in Houston during the ALCS. It is not a panic time right now, but remember what finally swung the Astros' favor in the ALCS. That was the Game 5 start by Framber Valdez, who went eight innings. The question now is, if Framber Valdez can't go eight innings, much less three innings, four innings in this game, who is going to be able to give them length? They need it at some point. Eventually, it came from Valdez and later Garcia in the ALCS. They need length from somebody in this series, preferably in Game 2 from Urquidy, but if not him, it's going to have to come in Game 3.
Well, because we know the sentimental favorite out of all of this, except for Jason's man crush on Rosario, is Dusty Baker on the side of the Astros, you know, trying to represent all the good and the light and to push away from the past. You know, what would it mean for baseball, I guess, you know, in terms of storylines for him to get this World Series win?
It's a great storyline, and obviously he made his MLB debut in 1968 for the Braves against the Astros, same lineup as Henry Aaron, who was his mentor. It would be a powerful story. He is a great ambassador for the game. He's a Hall of Famer, in my estimation, today, if he retired. He has made it to the playoffs with five different MLB franchises as a manager. No one else has done that. By the way, he also won the World Series as a player 40 years ago. So he is one of the great storytellers in the game, one of the great ambassadors of the game. All he's overcome, all the racial injustices that he's faced in his life and overcome so brilliantly. So for me, Dusty Baker is a Hall of Fame person and manager, and it would be a crowning achievement for him to get the World Series championship this year. But certainly he now has to find a way to get four wins against a Braves team that came out very strong there in Game 1.
You can follow him on Twitter at John Morosi. That is at John Morosi, JP, MLB Network, Fox Sports Radio Insider, who, let's be honest, is spending just maybe a tenth of his time this week worried about the World Series. The other 99 and nine-tenths is worried about Michigan State. So I understand
where
your priorities
are. I knew we were
going
to have a reference on this at some point. And I'm a little concerned. Games in East Lansing, Michigan State has a habit of thwarting Michigan's dreams in moments like that. So I think the Spartans have a good chance to win that game.
There we go. John Paul's got it all for you. JP, take it easy, buddy. We'll talk to you later on.
My pleasure, guys. We'll be breaking it down the whole World Series, my friends. Can't wait.